Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Read the Christmas story, what we call the Christmas story. Amen. Praise the Lord, I feel the presence of God this morning. I felt His presence this morning ever since we sung the opening song before Sunday school. If you wasn't here during Sunday school, you missed it because I felt His presence ever since. I felt His presence yesterday when I was out there at Walmart singing. The lady showed up yesterday with the Salvation Army to put her bucket up and start asking for donations, and she didn't even start ringing the bell. She didn't want to interrupt our singing. And when we packed up to leave, she said, "I just feel like raising my hands and praising God." She said, "I feel like I'm in a revival meeting." And that's how real the Lord was. The Lord can show up anywhere. Amen. I'm going to give you a thought for what the Lord gave me this morning. I'll tell you what, I'll make a bargain with you. I'm going to obey God for about the next 30 minutes. And when I get through, I want you to do the same. You never know. Today could be the turning point in somebody's life. Today could be the day. Everybody's been thinking about, you remember Wednesday night what I preached on? I stood right here and said it seems like some people are born to do evil. You remember that? I talked about Hitler and Stalin and Genghis Khan and all them people. In less than 48 hours, a 20-year-old boy went in that school and murdered them little kids. Some of them kids were shot 11 times. Nobody knows why. I probably never will know why. And my point is this. We never know when we wake up in the morning what a day is going to bring us. You don't know. You think you know what you're going to do today. You think you're going to go get in your car or your truck and go home and everything's going to go on as a routine, but you don't know that. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning, I'm going to give you what God gave me this week, right back there in my office. It might not sound like much, but I'm your preacher and I'm trying to be honest with you. And I'm going to give you everything I've got for the next 30 minutes, and I'm going to give you what God told me to tell you. And what you do with it's up to you. You can take it and throw it in the floor and say, "I could care less what He says," and you can walk out that door, and you can die and plunge off into hell. That'll be between you and God. And when you stand before God at the judgment, you can't stand there and look at Ronnie Wilcox and say, "I didn't warn you," because I won't have none of your blood on me. I'll stand there with clean hands and your blood won't be dripping off my fingers. Amen? You say, "Rich, you trying to scare us?" You bet. I'm doing everything I can to help you. I'm trying to warn you. Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all the world and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want to preach on this morning for a few minutes. The real Christmas miracle. The real Christmas miracle. The real Christmas miracle this morning is not a way for Santa Claus to get his sleigh around the world. The real Christmas miracle is not about two people falling in love around the holidays. The real Christmas miracle is not Ebenezer Scrooge and Tiny Tim. I mean, we watch that movie a bunch of times. We watch it every year, really, about Ebenezer Scrooge and all that stuff. And it's fun to watch it, but that ain't the real Christmas miracle. The real Christmas miracle is not a way for a person to find a lost family member, or it's not a way for Santa Claus to find Mrs. Claus. Amen? It's not about the Grinch stealing Christmas from Cindy Lou Who and all the Who's down in Whoville. Amen?
The Christmas miracle is not about all the misfit toys and the Arctic Circle. Amen? The real Christmas miracle is not even about Charlie Brown's pathetic-looking Christmas tree. It's not about a town coming together through the holidays and loving each other. It's not about caring and sharing and feeding the hungry. That ain't what Christmas is about. Amen. Christmas is about what I just read to you. It's about the lovely, darling Lamb of God that came flesh and came down from heaven to this wicked, sin-cursed, ungodly world to save sin-cursed man from a devil's hell. That's what Christmas is about, brother. I'll give you a few things this morning. I'm not preaching against all that stuff. I like giving gifts and all that. I like looking at the decorations and all that. That ain't really what Christmas is about. I like eating turkey and gravy and dressing as much as the rest of you. But brother, I'll tell you the real true meaning of Christmas is about Jesus Christ. He came into this world because you needed a Savior and I needed a Savior. We was dying, lost, undone without God and going to hell without hope without God. And He needed to come. And we needed for Him to come. I'll give you this morning. Number one, the Christmas miracle is the revelation of the Savior. The Bible said there, a Savior is born. He didn't say, a man came to show us miracles. Hey, brother, Jesus came and He performed miracles. But that was not the primary reason that Jesus came to this world. A lot of people think that's why Jesus came, so He could raise the dead and heal the sick. That was just to show who He was. The revelation of the Savior in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, thousands of years ago, thousands of years before Jesus was even born, when Adam and Eve sinned, when Eve reached up and took that fruit up in the Garden of Eden and took a bite, and Adam and Eve fell and stood sin, God prophesied and said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to Satan, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy of Jesus Christ. And all down through the Scripture, we read of the prophecy of the Lamb of God. We read about the prophecy, and we see finally the revelation of the Savior. We see finally, He finally reveals Himself as a little babe in a manger. Thank God, I'm glad He revealed Himself. Brother, listen, we needed a Savior. 1 Timothy 1:15 said, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thank God He came into this world to save sinners. He didn't come here to heal people. He came here to save people. Ain't nothing wrong with getting healed, and Jesus does heal people, but that ain't why He came here. He didn't come here to be a symbol on the cross to wear around your neck so you could kiss it before you go out on a ball field to hit a baseball. He didn't come here to be a symbol on the cross so you could do like this every time you do something for good luck before you kick a ball or before you go out and wrestle somebody. That's not why He came. He came here to keep men and women and boys and girls out of hell. He came here to go to a cross to suffer and bleed and die so you would have to die so your soul wouldn't be damned for eternity. That's why He came. The revelation of the Savior. That's what we see in the Christmas story. I believe most people's missed it. Most people don't even know what Christmas is about. Amen. Everybody thinks it's about Santa Claus and Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman and all that stuff. I don't even know what Frosty's got to do with Christmas. He's just a snowman. What about us people live down here that never snows? We'd never have Christmas. What about them people in Jamaica? They don't even know what a snowflake is. I'm talking about a real Christmas miracle. Listen, the greatest miracle that I know of is when a man or a woman is transformed by the power of God when they get saved and they trust in the shed blood of Calvary. Oh, thank God, the greatest miracle I know is when I see somebody get saved. Greatest thing ever happened to me was when God healed me. It's when God saved my never-dying soul from a devil's hell. That's when God saved me. Greatest miracle I've ever seen. I've seen God save so many people over the years. That's the greatest miracle I know of. I mean, I've seen God heal people. I ain't knocking it. I ain't against it. I love it. God's healed me. God healed me recently. I've been to several doctors lately, and they didn't do me no good. They tried. They tried to help me, but they couldn't. But I really know who touched me. of the Savior. That's the real Christmas miracle. I was headed for hell and could have went to hell and should have. You're sitting here this morning, you're lost. I don't understand why you're still sitting there. I don't know why you'd sit there dying and going to hell. You're sitting on the edge of hell. Brother, you're on the brink like this, teetering and tottering. You're like a man on a 100-story building sitting out on the end of a flagpole, just sitting there tottering, and it's greasy, and you're sitting there and the wind's blowing. Don't make no sense. You're like a man in a canoe going down the river toward Niagara Falls, blindfolded. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. You will not survive. Can't you understand you're going to hell? Can't you understand the odds are against you? You cannot survive. You cannot. You will not. You're condemned. You're damned already. You're going to hell. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you do. All you do is plead the mercy of God. All you do is throw yourself at the feet of Calvary. All you do is say, God, have mercy. That's all. That's all you do.
Amen.
You're damned. You're doomed. Nothing you do, nothing I do, nothing this church can do. At times we can't help you. All the Hail Marys in the world can save you.
Amen.
Going to hell. Going to hell sitting right here in this church. All the tears in the world can't save you. Your mama can't help you. Your daddy can't help you. This preacher can't help you. Your Bible can't help you. Listen, this beautiful poinsettia can't do you no good. Sitting in this good church can't help you. You're going to burn in hell if you don't repent of your sin. I don't know who this is for, but you better get saved before it's too late. The revelation of the Savior is a miracle. A miracle of Christmas. I want to say, number two, we see in the Christmas miracle the redemption of a sinner. Man, that's a miracle. Oh, they talk on these movies about the miracle of Christmas. Santa, I saw one of them movies where that movie Elf, you know, where enough people start singing a Christmas song, Santa gets his sleigh off the ground. That ain't no miracle. That's fantasy. But the redemption of a sinner. I'm talking about a real, real true blue miracle, brother. I'm talking about a full-blown, something you can see with your eyeballs. I'm talking about somebody that's a drunk, or a whoremonger, or a gambler, or a dump head, walks the aisle, falls on his face, cries his eyes out, pours his heart out, and gets saved, and he's completely changed from the inside out, and nobody can explain it, other than it's a miracle. When I got saved, nobody could figure it out. Everybody said he got religion, what happened to him? What happened to Ronnie? What happened? He won't smoke no dope with us. He won't go buy no beer with us. He won't drink no liquor. What's the matter with him? He cut his hair off. He don't have big long hair no more. He ain't wild and crazy no more. I'm still wild and crazy, but it's not about the same stuff. I'm still addicted, brother. I still got an addiction, but it's about something different. I got hooked. I got hooked on Jesus, and I'm still hooked on Him. I ain't never got enough of Him. I'm still hooked. I'm still addicted. I still can't get enough of Him. I'm still hooked on them old-fashioned songs, and I'm still hooked on the Bible, and I'm still hooked on old-time religion. The redemption of the sinner. You can't figure it out. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I understand more than you think I do. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about when a man can't help himself. I know. I see it all the time. I was there. A couple of these other fellows were there. Some of these women too. Gone too far. To the point of no return. No turning back. You know what redemption is? It's when a man reaches a place where he can't help himself. That's what redemption is. Religion is when a man trying to reach up to God and It's like the Catholics do. I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this. And finally, I'll do so much that God will be impressed and let me into heaven. But you can't never get there. You never do enough. You never do enough stuff and enough works where God will let you in. But redemption is when God does for you what you can't do for yourself. Amen! Redemption is when Jesus Christ died on the cross and He reached up and took God by the hand and reached down and took you by the hand and put you together and did for you what you can't do for yourself. You'll never do it! You'll never get there! You'll go to church and you'll clean up and try to do better and die and be cast into a lake of fire and burn forever. Better men than you've done it. You say, preacher, I'm going to clean up and turn over a new leaf. Good luck. Better men than you've done it. Cleaned up and turned over a new leaf. The bad thing about that leaf, it come off of a rotten tree. The whole tree's corrupt. You can't turn over a new leaf. The leaf's dirty on the other side and the roots are rotten to the core. I'm telling you, you need to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. He'll transform you. He'll give you a blood transfusion. Preacher, I don't make no sense. I can't figure it out. I know it. I can't either. I've been preaching my whole life. I can't explain it. And I still can't figure it out. It's just by faith. It's just by faith. That's all I can make of it. Sometimes I still scratch my head, Bo Sam. I still can't figure it out. I still can't figure it out. I still can't understand how and why God would save a low-down, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner. Why He loved me so, but He did. And He saved me. And He put me in the family of God. And He's going to take me to glory. I don't know why, but I know He did. That's a redemption for you. That ain't works. It ain't religion. It ain't a feel-good thing. It ain't what I do for Him. It's what He did for me. Glory to God. That's the redemption of the sinner. It's what makes me want to shout. That's why when they're singing, I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. And I was standing over there. And my heart started turning cartwheels. It's like if something down in my heart, Brother Ted, started cutting flips. Something's down there talking to you, boy. Some whisper over here and said, hey, that's you they're singing about. He loves you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He loves you, big boy. He loves you, lady. They're talking about you this morning. If I was here this morning, I wouldn't say, I'd jump over that pew. I'd knock somebody down to get up here. I'd want me a dose of this. I'd want me some. The preacher, what makes you act like that? You get you some. You'll find out. You get you a dose. I told Debbie a while ago, I said, I might take my boots off and run across them pews. She said, I hope you're in the Holy Ghost because I'll have a heart attack. The redemption of the sinner. Number three, the Christmas miracle also means the rapture of the saints. We're leaving. I've been watching the news all weekend about them poor little kids that got murdered. Nobody's addressed the real issue. I told Debbie, I said, ain't funny. Me and you know what the problem is. Amen. News commentators, they figured it out. None of those ABC News, NBC, CBS, Fox News, none of them. We know what it is, don't we? Paul told us over in the book of Timothy what it was. This know. That means know this. Wake up, pay attention, Timothy. I'm fixing to tell you something, big boy. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said, when it gets close to the end, it's going to get dangerous, man. It's going to be so dangerous. It ain't going to be safe to step out of your house. It ain't going to be safe to live in your house. It ain't going to be safe for a baby to be inside its mother's womb. And when it comes out and it goes to school, it ain't going to be safe. And when it's in its own bedroom at home, it ain't going to be safe at its own mother's and daddy's hands. It's going to be a dangerous world. And nobody, they said it's because the mental health department ain't taking care of people. That ain't it. They said it's because we ain't got enough gun laws. That ain't it either, brother. We're living in a wicked, ungodly, vile society. But I'll tell you what, I'm thanking God this morning that the Christmas miracle is this. We're going to be raptured out of this filthy, stinking man. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. We're checking out. You can have this outfit I'm wearing and buy a new truck if you want it. Amen? You have it. I signed all my titles to all my cars before I leave. You have them. Yeah. Because I'm leaving. The Bible says that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look to Him, for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back. I'm not going to send a delegate. I'm not going to send somebody in my place. I'm coming personally. I'll come get you. And I'm going to take you out of this wicked world. That's the real Christmas miracle. It ain't about Santa Claus and elves and snowmen and jingle bells and shotgun shells and all that stuff. It's about the darling Son of God that came here the first time. He's coming back the second time. And the second time He's coming without sin and to salvation. And He's going to take His daughter and little youngins out of this sin-cursed mess. And while everybody's running around pulling their hair out, trying to make new laws to make this a better place to live, which they can't do. They can't do it. Politicians can't straighten this mess out. You know why? How you know they can't make enough laws to make it better? Because it ain't just happening here. It's happening around the world. It ain't just America. It's everywhere. There's killing and raping and stealing. The economy's bad everywhere. Sin is running rampant. Sin is a word nobody ever mentions. Except in a few pulpits around America that nobody wants to listen to. That's what we're looking at. There's a few little old pilgrims that's passing through. And they're saying, all right, it's coming. All these kids getting killed. You know what that is? That's fulfillment of the Bible. Bad as that sounds, old Mike Huckabee said it. He said, you know what? We kick God out of the schools. Why should we expect anything different? Ain't it ironic that it's illegal to pray in the school? When that boy's in there shooting people, you know what them teachers are doing to them kids? Praying, brother. They didn't mind breaking the law to pray, did they? Terrible. I feel sorry for them. I'm not making light of it. My heart's been broke all weekend. Me and my wife's been praying for them. It's terrible. Them parents' kids ain't coming home and shot to death. Brother, I'll tell you something. We're living in a wicked, ungodly time. It could happen here. They could just walk in our church service and start shooting and killing. You don't ever know. It can happen any day, anytime, anywhere. The greatest comfort and the greatest hope we have is the rapture of the saints. God's people is leaving here, brother. And if you're not saved, young lady, young man, if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind in a lawless society. And you think it's bad now? This is the cream, brother. You're living here. Hey, brother, this is wonderful compared to what it's going to be when we're gone. Last thing I'll tell you about the Christmas story, the miracle of Christmas. I said the revelation of the Savior, redemption of the sinner, and the rapture of the saints, number four. I like this one. Ronnie, I want you to sing that song, The Judgment. Listen real close to the words of the song. The ruin of Satan. It's going to be a blessed day. We sung that song a while ago, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more heartache. Zechariah 3:9 said, "Before, behold, a stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." Now think about it. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. The Lord tells us in Revelation chapter 20, "I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." Praise God, shut him up. "And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." And on down toward the end of the chapter, it said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." And the last verse of that chapter says this. Last two verses says, this is where you'll be if you're not saved. Listen close. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them, nowhere to hide. You can't run from it. So what are you going to sing about? Listen to every word of this song. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the book according to the works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name's not in the Lamb's book of life. You'll get tossed over. It didn't say whose name was not on the Baptist church roll, or who was baptized, or who was a pretty good old boy. It said whose name was not... How do you get there, preacher? Acts chapter 16 said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's really not complicated. You say, preacher, I'm not good like y'all are. Don't kid yourself. We ain't good either. We're just saved. Don't you listen to this song? We're going to have an altar call. Listen to this.
All is still. Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to mourn. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know ye not, for the names written in this souls my blood has bought. Faces turn as into that courtroom comes the very seat of sin. He who was the saint's accuser face the charges against him. With the fury of all the ages, that demon boy begins to cry. It's not fair, I almost had you.
Because of you.
say, "Preacher, I can't do it." He came for you. If you're ready to come this morning, you come. He did it all. All you've got to do is endorse the check that Jesus wrote for you. Will you come this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, I've preached my heart out this morning. God, I've done everything I know to do. I've preached the message you gave me, Lord. And God, the Holy Ghost has been here, no doubt. Lord, you've been here in a mighty way. I pray if there's one here that's not saved, whether it's a child or a grown-up or whatever, I pray that you do business with them, Lord. Touch their heart. Let them come to this altar. Let them do business with God. Let them settle that old account. God, we know, Lord, that life is so short, shorter than we even realize, Lord. I pray that you'd touch hearts in a special way, Father. It's in your name we pray. Will you come this morning?
The gulf that separated from Christ, my Lord.
Don't put it off, friend.
It was
the altar's filling up. Don't put it off.
So bad.
Too important.
The cross.
Too important.
Like
we're talking about eternity here. Don't put it off.
From where I was,
don't put it all.
To hear,
come on,
man,
come on.
It seems so far, and I cried, I cannot come to where you are.
He came for you. Would you come to him?
So he came.
Need to come, why don't you come on?
That's why he died.
God's dealing with you, why don't you come on?
The
Lord's dealing with you, why don't you come on? Nobody can fix this but you. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do this but you. Last chorus of this song. Anybody else wants to come? Come on, quickly. Quickly. Sing it.
He came to me.
Ain't you glad he came to you? And crippled and just can't do anything. That's the way I was before I got saved, and you were too. And he came to you, rescued you. You couldn't get yourself out of the mess you was in. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can't get yourself out of the mess you're in. You can't do it. I know I thought I could. I kept thinking I'd put it off, things would get better, and I'd straighten this out quick, but you can't. You cannot. A human being cannot fix sin because it's in your system. It's who you are. You are a sinner. It's like you're a Caucasian. You can't make yourself be a black person or a Chinese or an Oriental or a Hispanic. You can't do that. It's because that's who you are. It's biologically, it's who you are. You can't change it. And so you are a sinner by nature. Nothing you can do about it. So when you come to Jesus by faith and trust Him, this miracle I've been preaching about, it's a transformation. Can't explain it. I wish I could. I've been preaching all these years. I wish there was a way I could. But see, you're dead. If you're lost, you're dead, and you're blind. You got blinders on. You cannot, unless the Holy Ghost just enlightens you and pricks your heart. It's just like takes a needle and just pricks your heart and gets you to this altar to Calvary and gets you, your eyes open up. You can't see it. And all of a sudden, whoosh, this light comes on, and all of a sudden you see it. That's what they're talking about. I get it. Is that right? It's like a veil's taken off your face, and all of a sudden you can breathe, you can see. It's like you've been living in a casket your whole life, ain't it? Is that a good way of describing it? When I got saved, Rosie, I felt like I'd been living in a casket my whole life, and somebody yanked the lid off. Oh my gosh, I can breathe. I can see. I can live. I came alive when I was 20 years old. I've been dead for 20 years. Man, I feel like shouting. I feel like preaching again. Lord of God, I'm glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved today? If you're here today and you're not saved, you just have no clue what you're missing. When you do finally get saved, you're going to say, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, what a fool. What a fool I've been. How many of you said that when you got saved? Everybody? What a fool I've been. Why didn't I get saved sooner? That's what you're going to do. You're going to kick yourself in the pants. You're going to say, why didn't I do it sooner? Amen. I love you. The Lord loves you.